final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Thank you.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. Let's see, you're also listening in over there at TCT Radio and People for People Radio and multiple other restreaming networks. Thank you for everybody rebroadcasting and such. So, moving energy. Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. I posted a few videos down in there. Actually, I posted one that I did here recently called Efficiency. That's a good video to take a look at. It has to do with some things going on with the Bedini motor generator circuit and stuff. But nonetheless, we've already established, as far as I'm concerned, that energy's free. That's we're past all that. Now it's a question about how it is we plan on moving it around. You know, I've been using a lot of transistor circuits to basically turn the light switch on and off. That's the simple of it. Long time ago, when Tesla was doing his energy research, he had a deal where he was using a knife switch. And essentially, he'd turn this thing on real quick, and he'd notice that he'd get this sudden surge of power. And he figured out that if he could do this really fast at different speeds or whatever, that he could actually control the frequency of what the output would be on the other side, and be able to ramp the voltage up at a high rate and a high volume. So basically, Tesla was basically showing people how to move energy around. Energy's there. The 12-volt batteries that we use in our cars, and 9-volt batteries, all batteries for that matter, and even capacitors to some extent. Well, yeah, just basically to the same extent. I got like 10 billion things on my mind right now that I want to make sure that I don't miss no points, but it's a long enough show. Maybe I'll get it figured out before it's all over. Anyway, inside those batteries, there is so much power potential that it's mind-blowing. It's not just that you got 12 volts and so many amp hours and stuff like that that you can actually use this battery. Just about everything that we use as far as appliances and stuff are inefficiently running. They're designed inefficient because what's going on when that switch comes on for your inverter or whatever, that energy begins to go on a journey, and it travels down through the wires and through the circuitry, and if at any point it finds resistance, the energy will begin to back up in certain spots, and it will cause those spots to get hot. Now, I did that the video where I showed, I'll have to click over there to my YouTube so I can refresh my mind as far as the names of the videos that I'm referencing. But basically, it's a circuit that I came across by accident. Well, not necessarily by accident, because I actually went out looking for a inverter circuit that would, change AC to DC current, and do it as efficiently as possible. And I see my thumbs down has already been back. Oh man, you know what, there's just some people in this world you cannot please. Anyway, forget those. Coil driver, I did coil driver 1 and coil driver 2. And anyway, in that particular video, it's a circuit that is 12 volts to 100 or 220 volts AC, and been pulsing coils with this thing. Been pulsing all different types of transformers just to watch the reaction. And what it ends up being is that it's a pulse DC circuit. And so if you take two transformers and you run those pretty much in series, and then you put your load on the other end, you'll actually get a DC current out the other side. It's pretty good information, because it takes out the need for a bridge rectifier. And if you actually take a look at your systems that out there where you have to take the DC current, whatever, and rectify it into AC current, if you could take those out of the circuit, you would make that circuit so much more efficient. And so for every less every hurdle less that you can actually put into the system, then that energy can travel freely. Anyway, so I hooked a different type of inverter to the output of this particular circuit, and multiple transformers in multiple different configurations to try to find the best one, and actually got an overload warning on the output inverter that I was using to actually run the load on. And so that meant that, you know, it was receiving too much energy. Too much power was coming back to it. So I actually had to figure out a way to bleed off some of that power. And so what I did was I added another larger transformer. And for the last, at least the last week or so, I've actually been running tests on all different types of configurations of all different types of transformers. And I'm getting to the point where mechanically I can actually see what's occurring in my mind about where this energy is flowing, how it's flowing, and how to give it an opportunity to not back up in the system and cause it to, you know, meet resistance. So, let's see. Steven said in the chat room, I have never seen a video on YouTube that didn't get thumbs down for someone, no matter how good the video is. I don't know why you let it bother you so much. Well, it's not just that. It's not the actual thumbs down that aggravates me. It's that when you do a video and you take your time to share something with people, and you know, I'm pretty sure that I've got somebody out there that just really doesn't like me, period. It doesn't matter what I do or what I say. I could come out there and show them, you know, how to get extremely wealthy, and it would be 100% proven, no ifs, ands, or buts. It'd be like the you know, the best whatever, and they'd still thumb it down. It doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is that the only thing that gets on my nerves about people doing that kind of stuff is the fact that all they had to do is just type something into the chat room and say what about the video that they didn't like, or that the video quality was bad or whatever. You know, it's that you just basically drive by, give somebody the finger, and drive off, you know. And that's it. Like I said, I couldn't care less about the actual thumbs down. I don't care, you know. This isn't a popularity contest. It's the fact that they don't even have enough intelligence to stop in and type in a message and say, well, I believe everything that you believe is wrong, and you're just wrong, or whatever. You know, constructive criticism or any kind of word, you know, just drive by, give somebody the finger, drive off, that's it. You know, and it's obnoxious. Because all the work that I do is for all the free thinkers of the world out there. All the people that said that the world had a need and needed some, you know, some solutions. So I jump in there and try to get a solution. But it seems like it don't matter. Every crowd that you get in there, you got naysayers for everything under the sun. And when you talk about free energy, boy, that's even more a taboo, because you know, the school book has pretty much said that there ain't no such thing as free energy, because the way that they turn and twist terminology is just, it's just ridiculous to try to make it sound like, you know, you're just stupid because you have no concept of science. You're talking to a man who spent his years with his nose in books and taking things apart and studying and researching and all this kind of stuff. I understand what's going on out there, and I paid attention in science class. And so it's not that the idiots bother me. It's that they get on my nerves. It's that they just fly by, say something ignorant, and then fly off. Or they fly by and give you the finger and fly off. Not trying to help out any process. Not for any other purpose other than to be aggravating. You know, the trolls of the world, that kind of stuff. So, you know, I try to help people out. That's all I'm trying to do, you know. And I enjoy mad science. I enjoy, working with energy. I enjoy, sharing information with people. And I enjoy learning things from people that come here and share other deals. Anyway, so back to the show there. The second video, or the second two videos that I put in there, one on this video reminded me of the old days, but also gave me some new ideas. When you're talking about moving energy around, ideas and observations of things that you're figuring out are worth sharing. This guy here, he's taken, made a basically a motor generator where he's taking a battery and he's run to an electric motor and then runs to turn a little generator head. That's not a new concept. But there was something in this video that was worthy of checking out, because I was always trying to figure out a way to directly couple two electric motors together like this and could never find, you know, something that would work. And this guy takes two drill head chucks and puts them back to back and is able to tighten them down, and problem solved, one little deal. And that's the key, folks. This is what I was talking about. You know, there's people out there with a lot of brilliant minds, and maybe this device doesn't work like it should because it has a flaw, but maybe that guy has the answer to resolve that. And so this is why I wanted to bring all these brilliant minds together, because a little simple idea like two chucks back to back that will line the drive shafts to each one of these electric motors up straight, and then, you know, be able to mount them. See, that's the key. If you're going to build a mechanical device, you got to have everything be in precision, and so that it's not wobbling all over the place. And because the whole concept is to try to get the best performance out of everything that you make. And so this is why I post these videos that I do. It's so that you can take a look, and there might be some piece of this that you could add to your collection of good information that you use. The second video down was another individual who made a pretty much an inverter. But he did it not using transistors. He did it using a specific type of relay that I actually posted the name of the relay. It says an ADRAX 12-volt 8-DPD relay. Anyway, basically, that's just another switch. And, I have never tried these particular deals, but I did do a video quite some time back that basically showed you how to drive a coil using a one of them was using a tattoo gun, which is essentially a relay, and another one was using a actual relay where you could turn the switch on and off real fast. That's what the whole point is. But so all these different deals are ways to basically flip the switch on and off. That's it. Now all we're doing is moving energy from one place to the next. That's the key. And when you get down to actually using this power and understanding what's actually occurring in there, and understanding how to store this same amount in energy, to move it from one place to the next, all that kind of stuff, that's what all these little pieces of the puzzle are all about. If you take all these pieces of the puzzle, and let's say worst case scenario occurs, power grid goes down, and you need some sort of power at the very least for lighting. Well, then there are all kinds of parts and all kinds of appliances that if you knew what you were doing with could be repurposed into making a charger for, you know, emergency communications or whatever. These circuits that I've been working with, these little cheap Chinese inverter circuits, they're 12 volts to 220 volts AC, and I'm only running off the two legs over there. It's actually kind of set up to where it has a mid-ground, so you can run these things just like you would be a normal, you know, when you take your neutral and your two power inputs on your house deal. There's a midpoint there. If you connect into either side, from the middle to either side, you get 120 volts. And if you connect from one side all the way over to the other side, it's now ran in series and you get 220 volts. So these little circuits are actually capable of running 220 volts. And I'm running it off of one side, pulsing coils, because I don't need a 220 volt output. All I need is the output that is basically the pulse DC that's pulsing these coils. It's turning the light switch on and off really fast. And what the significance of this deal is that it's not drawing as much power from the battery source or the power input source that your standard inverter would actually be drawing. The key and the evidence of this is that the transistors inside these things, there's two sets in there, are not getting hot. That means that it's not backfeeding on itself, and that means it's not drawing too big of a load. And actually, if you draw too much from the output side of it, the relay will trip itself and it'll kick on and off. So it's perfect for experimental purposes, because you can actually see how far you can take this one little circuit without overheating it or destroying it. So I've done all kinds of things to this one circuit, and it is really impressive. It's durable. And I'm still using them. I bought two of them the first time around and was so impressed by them that I've actually purchased four more of the same circuit. Now, if I want to customize a custom transformer, I need to be able to understand how that energy is actually traveling through that transformer. And I need to understand, you know, all the different things that they teach you about which direction the current's flowing according to how you have it connected and such. Because it's like pumping water through a set of, you know, through the plumbing. As long as you know which direction you want to send that water, and you know what type of valve that will only allow it to go one way, or even be able to split that power off to that water off to two separate directions or more. If you pay attention to what's going on with how water and plumbing moves, then you understand how electricity moves as well. And if you've got more power coming out than your transformers can actually handle, that's when you start to see all these other things, these things where it gets hot from eddy currents being generated. So you're cramming too much water in this tank, and it's got to go somewhere. There's no more room for it in this tank, and so it starts to overflow or overpressurize and stuff. The amount of power that's actually coming out of these transformers is way more power than you need. And so you got to figure out a way to back that power down and get that transformer to work as efficiently as possible. And these circuits are perfect for learning how to do just that. Now, with this thing being a 220 volt AC driver, from a 12 volt to a 220 volt AC driver, coil driver, whatever, that means that I can pulse two separate transformers off of the same exact circuit and send that energy in two separate directions. And so, with that said, if you start doing the math on what is actually occurring here, and you're able to start running more things than you should have been able to all along, and because of the type of signal that's actually coming through there, there are points where you will actually get a DC current and an AC over here. And you'll note that when you turn this over here, all that energy is now no longer under pressure, and it goes to the direction of wherever the load is that it's actually being pulled to. So it's like if I got two pipes and I'm putting pressure to both of these pipes, and then I open up the valve on one of them, the pressure drops on this pipe and the power flows out the other side over there. And so that's exactly what's going on with this electricity. Whenever you're sending this pulses through these coils, through these transformers, the traditional style of running the transformer is that you pulse the primary and then you get power out of the secondary from the lines of flux expanding and collapsing and basically through that process you have actual energy lost from the secondary, but not lost from the energy that you put in there. That energy that's going into that primary, you're putting more energy than you absolutely need to put in there to get the same exact result that you would be with less energy. And all that extra energy oversaturates the entire system and basically makes now that the core, the transformer core itself, is trying to store up some of that energy. So you'll see that in transformers you'll get this hum going on where it's buzzing because it's got too much power going on. It doesn't need all that power. And you don't need all that power on the other side. So, the transformer will either buzz and get hot, or it will try to find a place for that energy to go. Most of the time, it will, if it's grounded to a frame or whatever, it'll actually travel from that core over to the frame and to whatever else is grounded, so there's a lot of leakage. Not just with the magnetic flux, but there's a lot of leakage of the energy that you just produced by turning that switch on and off rapidly. I'm hoping that you understand what it is that I'm trying to say here. You know, if you try to put a garden hose into a bucket and you keep putting water in that bucket and you finally fill that bucket up, that water pressure's got to go somewhere. And so it's going to find the weakest path, the path of least resistance, and it's going to come spraying up out of there. But if you have another bucket right alongside of it, once that first bucket is full, you can dump all the excess energy over into the second bucket. And that's essentially what I've been doing with these transformers by when I get an overload from the inverter that I'm running my actual load on, then I have to add someplace else for that extra energy that is too much to bring into that circuit to store that energy or use that energy somewhere else. Now, I'm going to have to do another video on it, but basically, when trying to run this circuit, I got two motors that are actually running in series with this circuit that are 12-volt DC motors that are running at the same time while I'm running that circuit in order to drain off excess power so that the inverter will run. So using that one little circuit that I started with, pulsing from a DC input, produced a pulse DC wave that went through and kicked a bunch of transformers, and the transformers put out a lot of power, too much power, had their leaks on their system, and I figured had to figure out a way to guide this energy where I wanted it to go. And all along, the more stuff that I added to this thing, I learned a lot of things about what's actually occurring with the energy that you're trying to use. In some incidents, that energy was at the wrong frequency, and I was able to use a capacitor, like a microwave oven capacitor, to smooth that signal right back out again and actually be able to run an AC fan motor with it. So, it's not that we don't have enough energy, folks. It's that we're just not using it right. Period. There's more energy potential in any given battery bank, even power source for that matter. And I'm even working on designing custom transformers that will do things a little bit differently than, let's say, a ferrite core or a metal laminate, iron laminate core. All these things, whenever they get oversaturated, will lose energy in the form of heat because of the way that they're that you're pulsing these coils. If you actually backed off the energy, the input of what you're putting into any given transformer, if you bring that thing back to only what you need to send that magnetic flux across to the secondary, then that transformer will not get hot. You're not cramming too much pressure into that that transformer, and it will do the same amount of work that it was doing before. So, basically, with that said, I got to address something real quick.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Alrighty, yeah, sorry about that ruckus there. Sorry about the interruption there, folks. It just some things just don't seem to want to work themselves out. So there's always got to be something, some sort of hassle on a daily basis. Anyway, so let me see if I can get this back on track. I was talking about, moving energy around. There's a lot more energy potential in your average battery than you can possibly imagine. And so with that said, if we can learn to use things in such an incredibly efficient manner, we'd be able to conserve that battery for longer and extended periods of time, and also not be destroying our components such as the transistors or MOSFETs that we use to drive our circuits to basically invert that energy to another form and be able to use it to do the work that we need to do. See, the majority of my research has to do with old Tesla technology and plasma technology, where essentially you're taking energy and you're energizing it into the fourth state of matter, which is plasma. So you get light, you get heat, and all that kind of stuff. Good morning, Patty. How are you doing today? So, anyway, the whole concept is being able to tap into the energy that already exists all the way around us everywhere. All these different researchers out there, John Bedini and Searle and Joseph Newman, Stan Myers, and Tesla, all these different energy researchers out there, they were basically showing people how to move energy in so many different directions, wireless energy transfer and energy storage, and the difference between AC current and DC current, when in reality all electricity, whether it's pulsing this way or that way, is all the same. It's the same exact energy force, and you're just using it in a different manner. That's all there is to it. And so all we're doing is moving the energy where we want it to do with it to get work done. Well, I've been saying forever and a day that energy is free, and it is. The energy from the sun, the energy from the wind, the energy from the water, the forces of nature that are readily available. And so we had got this thing that we call electricity that goes back in time, multiple different versions of electricity. Static electricity, DC current, AC current, so on down the line. It's just, but it's all the same energy, no matter how you look at it. We're just moving it from one place to another, getting work done. One of the things that I keep thinking about was like this one that down there had this motor generator, and these folks are always trying to figure out a way to make these things run themselves, make them charge themselves. But with this Bedini motor that I've been running with, every time you try to bring that circuit back to itself, you get too much power and it starts to shut things down. And so with that said, it very well could be the case that you need two separate but identical independent systems that are charging the opposite perspective battery. So if let's say I had these two motor generators and I'm running the battery to run an electric motor to run a electric generator head, and I'm pushing power out that side, well, I would need a duplicate system in the going in the opposite direction. And the output from that one over there would go to that charged battery, and the output to the other one would go to that charged battery. to keep all the current flowing in the same direction instead of trying to oppose itself or speed something up and slow something down that you didn't want to speed up or slow down. The closed loop system is the argument for perpetual motion. It's a argument for over unity and zero point and all that kind of stuff, where your laws of physics and thermodynamics come into play, and they essentially say you can't do it. It's not possible. But I'm seeing things moving energy around that don't have any explanation to what the book said. I'm seeing methods by which, if you could actually take this particular Bedini circuit and motor generator and get that energy away from that generator and be able to ensure that there's no direct connection back to the same generator, that you could put that energy, bring that energy back, and you can keep that battery charged up just like the alternator charges the battery in your car. But the problem is that the signals that this thing is producing, well, because of the transistors of the MOSFETs, the signal itself, it doesn't work like your standard electricity. And it will travel any path that it can find, any path. And that signal will go right back around through the same exact system that you're trying to pull power off of, and it will ramp it up to the point where you either get short, or it will literally, quite literally, reverse the poles on the battery. If you've seen that video that I did here recently, let me see if I can figure out which one that was. Question. My video that I did called Question and Question 2. In those videos, I show you how I'm actually running an electric motor off of two negative poles on a battery. And I talked about how I got an explosion of a diode. Well, it turned out that one of those batteries actually produced a positive pole. Even though it's a negative pole off of that other battery, it actually produced a positive pole, even though these batteries are not connected in series, that it's just running through that circuit, and that signal was able to go back in the opposite direction and literally reverse the polarity between these two batteries. One of the poles became positive and the other one became negative. And it made absolutely no sense as far as what standard electricity basically talks about, teaches. So, scientifically, there's a whole lot more going on here than meets the eye. If anybody wants to join in on this conversation with me today, throw a thumbs up in the Mad Science Room down there, and I'll add you on Skype. These coils and these transformers are just a means to the end. Basically, what I mean is that we need a certain amount of current, we need a certain amount of watts, and a certain amount of amps to run the inefficient junk that we have been running, and so we need to be able to move energy from whatever our input side's going to be to wherever our output side's going to be, and we got to do it as efficiently as possible in order to get the best use out of the power source that we're using. But the coils, in the primary coils and the secondary coils in a transformer, they don't care where that field comes from. The coils in the motors and alternators and generator heads, They don't care where that magnetic field comes from. If you can pulse that that coil, basically switching that light off and on, and you can actually control the speed at which you switch that light on and off, you can make that transformer, any existing transformer, so incredibly efficient that it's mind-blowing. Right now, the reason why these things get hot is because we're trying to cram too much energy into them. If you look at when you're putting water into a container, or you know, basically even if you go down to the base of a waterfall and you watch what's going on down there, you'll see all these little whirlpools, and you know, that's because you're cramming a lot of pressure into a place and all that energy is looking for a place to go. And in the process, it's going to take the path of least resistance, and this whirlpool will cause that whirlpool to spin this way, and that one will be spinning that way, and everything's completely chaotic. But if you give that energy a clear path with no resistance, then you will not see that same result. That means that that water at the bottom, the water just keeps coming in smoothly. It's not disrupting any of the sand or dirt or silt underneath the pool that you're dumping it in. And so you get a smooth flow of energy going through there. The same thing applies with electricity. If it's got a path where it can go, where it's not being resisted, you still have the same magnetic field that you need to run what it is that you're running, and you still have more than enough power left over to do whatever it is that you want to do with it as well. Let me see. Yay! This will be a good one. Ah. Hi lady, how's it going? Welcome to the Mad Science Show. Ah. You got your microphone muted? Hello. Well, anyway people, I got Patty on here, I just can't hear her yet. So basically, if you pay attention to what nature's already been doing, you'll see mechanical things happening in nature that will give you a exact replica of what's going on with electricity. The way that water flows is the way that electricity flows. You put too much water in the bucket, the bucket fills up and it overfloods. And if you put too much voltage into a transformer, then the transformer will overflow. And if it doesn't have anywhere to go, then it now meets resistance because the energy is still coming in and there ain't no place for it to go. But if you give it that energy a place to go, then you don't have that resistance any longer, and you actually will note that your transformer now begins to run cooler. If it's getting hot, then you're doing it wrong. That's it. Unless you absolutely want it to get hot, then you can use the same concepts that you get whenever you're wasting energy with your transformers. You can actually take that energy away and use it as well. So imagine a custom core transformer that was water cooled, and you could actually use that water from cooling down a transformer. You could run it at ridiculous rates and still be able to keep that transformer
hot.
Can you
hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, lady. How you doing? Well, I can hear her, but I guess you can't hear me. Breaker 19 for radio check on the Mad Science Channel. I got a typer in the message. I heard you. Huh. All right, so while she gets her Skype thing worked out, she got some issue going on with her Skype, the sound settings or whatever. Anyway, so all we're doing is moving energy. That's it. Just moving it from one place to the next. Because around you, all the way around you, around every single object in existence, there's energy. And we send out these waves to cause a reaction. And we have radio communications. We can talk back and forth to each other, basically sending energy waves out. When you send those same energy waves through a coil of wire, you get a result as nature slams it back down. And science likes to call it back EMF. So you send an electromagnetic wave up into these coils, and it creates a magnetic field, and then when the magnetic field slams shut, whenever you take the power off, all that energy comes back up. It's like blowing up a balloon and then letting the balloon go. So, alright, so I hope she gets that resolved. Anyway, so that's the way energy travels. And now that we know that, then now it's about taking and finding all the different off the shelf parts that you can, observe and understand, so that you could actually go out there and recycle them out of parts. Like this little relay, they're probably in all kinds of different electronic components. There, you can buy 10 pieces DC 12 volt DP DT PCB power signal relay. You can buy 10 of them for $6.55 on eBay from Hong Kong with free shipping. And so I'm going to buy me some of these, and I'm going to run some tests on them to see how they compare with transistors and MOSFETs. Because the key is, you want the most efficient way in order to be able to turn that switch on and off real fast without having to stand there physically and turn the switch on and off real fast. So if these things, there's 10 pieces right there for $3.20 free shipping off of eBay. So, how resilient are these things? I don't know until I test them. But now that I know what I'm looking for, these are specific types of relays that were used in the video that I posted in the chat room over there at the superchat.html. And it's the second video down. Actually, it's the third video down under my video, which is efficiency. There's a video where it's a motor generator that gave me an idea about how to couple these two motors together that I never thought about before. But nonetheless, the third video down is the one where these using these relays to actually pulse from a power source, which is a 12 volt battery, to a transformer. That relay in the middle is the switch that's making the AC pulse to the transformer that is giving the output of the AC current necessary to run that LED bulb that he's running right there. So with that said, there's another option in there. I've even pulsed coils with basic blinker switches that you get, like your turn signal switches in your car. Of course, that's probably not the best idea, because those actually require heat in order for the switch to turn on and off. but it'll give you a basic example of what's actually occurring if you wanted to test that. You just wouldn't want to run them very long because of the heat. It'd actually burn itself up. And I've actually had that happen as well. But these little circuits that I've been talking about in the videos, that efficiency and doggone it, where'd I go with that? There they are. The coil driver videos. There's two of them. There's a coil driver and a coil driver two. Those are where I explain in there about that circuit. And basically show how these things will pulse coils and be able to get pretty decent output out of them. Anyway, that's the whole key. When you understand how energy travels, and you know that all you need to do is produce a magnetic field and allow that field to collapse, and what types of materials is going to allow itself to be like the cores of the transformers, you want them to be able to magnetize and demagnetize rapidly, and then you got the best core for your transformer. Doesn't mean that you actually have to have a core in your transformer. You can do an air core, but the cores actually help to assist the timing of that field expanding and collapsing, and gives a little bit of extra power back to it. Anyway, I'm just like really super distracted today for some crazy reason, because either somebody knocking on the door or, Skype issues or technical difficulties, that kind of stuff. But don't want to get away from the fact that energy is free. No ifs, ands, or buts. We got that figured out. It's everywhere. Energy's everywhere. And now we are explaining simple ways to move energy from point A to point B and use the resulting effects of when you move energy to get work done. Joseph Newman figured it out. Joseph Newman was able to utilize the laws of physics and centrifugal force, stored energy in flywheels, being able to use energy in such an incredibly efficient manner that he literally got out, according to the math from all the people that came to test his stuff, 800% more power out than he put in. Of course, depending on who you ask and depending on what you read, I guarantee you don't go to Wikipedia to try to get answers, because they got a bias and an agenda. That's all there is to it. But all these energy researchers who are pointing out the same things but in different terminology than what I'm pointing out myself, they tried to show that there are, at the very least, incredibly efficient ways in which to utilize energy. So, let me see if I can get Patty on here again. She's having some Skype issues. Hello, can you hear me now? Nope, can't hear me now. Man, that's terrible. Alright, well, I don't know what to do. We're live. Anyway, so let me see here. Let me I'm going to take us to another music break and see if I can help troubleshoot what's going on. Folks.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
It's modern technology, lady. You gotta love it. We're live again. Woohoo! Alright, this time, okay. This time you get to hear Patty. Hi, Patty. How's it going? Maybe she didn't hear me. I spoke too soon.
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
I can hear you.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Let's try this again, then.
Yeah, are you there? We're live.
Okay, I'm back.
We're live. Can you hear me?
Yes.
It's like a bad cell phone commercial.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Anyway, we were talking about how, you know, if people actually paid attention to what's going on, you could go down and stand next to your nearest river or even a stream or a lake or a pond or whatever, and you can observe what's going on. If you see the water going down the deal every time it goes up against a rock, you'll know that it's diverted, and you'll see these little whirlpools going this way and that. Well, that's exactly what's going on in electricity. If you can understand what's going on with that water, then you know exactly how electricity travels. And so what Tesla was trying to show us was how by putting a wave in this, you can send this energy off that direction, or you can send it off that direction, or if you continue to turn, make this wave, you can make a larger wave and a larger wave that, you know, basically you're just sitting here tapping on the water, and eventually it comes flying out of the side of the pool because you basically amplified the system. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I've done that.
Yeah, it's so ridiculously simple, and that's what somebody told me one time, and I said as well, that the answer to free energy is going to come in a ridiculously simple form. That's what they usually say, keep it simple. Most people want to try to make it all, high tech and try to make this sound like it's rocket science, when in fact it's not. If your transformers are getting hot, it's because you're putting too much power to them. If your appliances are getting too hot, then that means you're putting too much power to them. This is why efficiency matters, and this is why I've been basically searching for a switch that will remain cool and do the work with the least amount of input. Of course, you know, you're going to get these people come flying up out of the woodwork and say, oh, that's not free energy and blah, blah. God, I'm so tired of hearing that.
You know, that is one of the mantras that you hear over and over and over.
Yeah, it's obnoxious.
And I, of the power holders, you know, of the ones that control, and they don't step out of the box. It's like they have blinders on in front of them. They can only see so far, and they're not going to see any further than that, no matter what is out there, you know.
Yep, and that's the problem you see coming out of a lot of the colleges these days. Is people that they got a set view that they learned their education, and so now they know more than you will ever know, and unless you can catch up with them in school, in reality, they don't know nothing. You know, a guy that didn't waste his time going to college, because I didn't need that, you know, indoctrination. Because I understood what basic science was all about, where you observe, you test, and repeat, and you know what works and what doesn't work just by doing it. You see what I'm saying? Did I lose you again?
I keep going in and out. I'm gonna try something real quick. I'm on Wi-Fi right now. I'm gonna hook up to an Ethernet, see if that's going to help me. Okie doke.
Yeah.
I'm going to be silent for just a little bit.
All right. So Anyway, I was looking at, sorry folks, I got distracted. I was looking at a message that somebody had been trying to get a hold of for quite some time. If you ever get a chance to, Russ from RWG Research, go check out the work that he does. He's an amazing individual. So anyway, I'm trying to, I got like a 10 billion things running through my mind right now, of things that I want to try to get out to the world. There's all kinds of ways to turn the power switch on and off. It's not that you don't have enough power in any given power source, it's that the way that you're using it is causing one of two things to happen. Either the energy is feeding back to the battery or your power source, or you're trying to ask too much of the same power source. And as far as voltage goes, you can ramp the voltage up just by speeding up the connection, the on and off connection of your power source. Because every time you flip the switch, not only does your coil pressurize with magnetic field, but the battery also pressurizes with magnetic fields. And the moment you release it, the moment you break that switch, if you pay attention, you actually get a discharge coming from the coil back to the battery and from the battery to the coil. Everything's trying to balance itself back out. And knowing that, and you want to be able to use that energy, you now know that you have a point at which you can take energy off of the system from two separate points and move it to where you want it to go. Well, the transistors, the MOSFETs, and now these little relays right here, and you know, rotary switches that I keep talking about. Russ from RWG Research made a commutator for a Joseph Newman replica that he's working on. And so I was telling him in this deal that if he ever decides he wants to make a second one and sell it to me, because I've seen how he made it, it's like brilliant. You need a really sturdy switch, because when you're making and breaking that circuit there, the reason why in the old days the point systems in the distributors there's so much power coming from that flyback from that coil that it literally eats into the points. So in order to resolve this, they took a condenser and drained off some of that power as it was going across a point. Some of that power went down through a condenser and was drained into the body ground of the car. So that lessened the power that was coming out of that one coil, which tells you that if the power that's coming out of this make and break circuit, which was in that distributor system, was strong enough that it could literally eat through the metal, then that's a lot of power. And you could actually take that power, that flyback, and use it to store that energy for another purpose. So you got way more power than you need when you're running those coil systems like that. And even in modern day coils, igniter systems and stuff, there is more power than you need. If it's got the capability of starting a fire, or it's got the capability of causing the carbon buildup from actually burning the materials or the metals, or even welding themselves together, you know, creating a dead short. That's the reason why a welder actually works, is because of how much power you can get from making and breaking that circuit like that. Depending on how much voltage and how much current you put to these doggone things, you can sit there and weld two pieces of steel together, and you can actually take a smaller input and weld a couple of smaller pieces of metal, or you can literally weld plastic together just by understanding how you're moving that energy around and the materials that you're working with. So we got a way more amount of power than we need. It's mind blowing. There's more power than we could ever use. And this is what I'm trying to get to, and probably not doing a very good job of it today because I've been distracted by a couple different events, but it's alright. We'll get through this thing. Efficiency is going to prove free energy. Super efficient equipment and super efficient circuitry is going to prove free energy. It means that before you know it, somewhere within the next few years and potentially even this year, somebody's going to accidentally put out a circuit board or a piece of machinery that has over unity capabilities or 0 point capabilities or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's basically going to be so incredibly efficient that if you just hook a little power source to it, this will do the job. And the reason why I'm saying this is because from everything that I've witnessed through all the different circuits that I've tested and all the different transformers that I tested, energy's doing something differently than the school book says. And so you will be able to quite literally get more work done for less, which means that now you are efficient. And by being able to do this, that means the average Joe is actually going to be able to afford their electric bill. That means that those got a bit of this knowledge in their mind and take the time to research it and develop more solutions will actually be able to afford to build themselves self-sufficient energy designs. I'm excited about it because we're past the point of no return. Pandora's box has already been opened up. And if people pay attention to all these different anomalies and things that we're sharing with everybody, and you take these pieces of the puzzle and you put them together, then you got exactly what we promised all along. You got free energy. It's there. As far as I'm concerned, the search for free energy is over. It's been over. Now it's about taking and finding the best tool to utilize to get whatever work it is that we want done. We have the capabilities to literally build the perfect electric motors now that will not fail, that will last for decades. Outside of corrosion, if you don't allow this particular device to get hot, and if it doesn't reach its thermal breakdown point, then the insulation on the coil windings will not fail. And if the insulation never fails, then the motor will run indefinitely without ever destroying itself. See, that's the thing about energy. All energy produces heat when it's being used to do work, because you have things such as friction and so on, but it doesn't have to do it. So let me try this one more time. Patty's having a really bad Skype issue today. Hi, lady. Are you back? Are your Skype issues resolved? Guess not.
Who knows?
There you are. I heard you. Can you hear me?
I don't know what's going on. Shazette, come down here and teach my ISP company.
Yeah, I need to show them about efficiency. They're probably,
Lordy.
Yeah, they're probably trying to, give preferential, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you know, when they steal your bandwidth that you pay for high bandwidth, and then they turn around and ship it over to somebody else who's more important, I guess?
Okay, I'm going to try shutting down the website, which I don't like to do because I love the chat, but see if that's going to help me any at all. I've hooked up to the Ethernet, so, and my Skype says I've had no change in call quality.
Well, you were sounding great there for a second. Are you still there?
I am here. I'm making your show, though, terrible, Shazoo.
All right, stay right there. You're good. Okay, so I can hear you clearly. You can hear me clearly. Woohoo! So anyway, you got any thoughts on this matter? We talked about earlier, you and me, about the watching the stream and seeing how, you know, when the water's going down the stream, and if there's a rock in the way, you'll see how that water diverts around it and such. Well, that's how electricity works. Just like that. It's mind-blowingly simple. What do you think?
Okay, I lost the last part of that, but I think I got it. Maybe. You know, I've watched them here. We have a couple of rivers that usually are only like a foot and a half to 2 foot deep most of the year. But during the rainy season, they run 4 or 5 feet, maybe sometimes up to 12 feet deep. When they do this,
I think I might know what's going on with your Skype.
We'll carve out. Yeah, it's Skype.
I think I might know what's going on with it. There is a setting in your options.
Uh-huh.
And I believe it's in audio setting. And it says automatically adjust microphone settings. Well, you don't
I never click it. Click it.
That's probably what's going on. It's probably something in your microphone is fighting over control of your microphone volume. So that's probably what's happening.
I'm not sure. I'm thinking about unplugging my headset and seeing what happens.
Yeah, try that. See if that works.
All right. Okay, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you great.
Am I echoing?
No, you're fine.
Okay. All right, we're going with this then.
Yay, we got it resolved. Okay, so, you know, that's why I call it mad science. Technology, we're learning. We're finding things.
Hey, be quiet.
Where'd you go? There you are.
I'm back. Yeah, I didn't resolve it.
You was trying to say something about the river earlier.
Okay. Alright, am I back?
Yeah, you're back. You was trying to say something about the river earlier.
Right, I was,
Oh, wow. It happened again, lady.
In a Scott. This river, and Two Dog wants to join, by the way.
All right. But
I watch as they cut out through the sides of these banks of the river, and they create these eddies where the current, when it comes through, it digs out a pocket up against the bank, and it comes.
Yeah, I lost you again.
Water that's speeding past. He only holds as much water as the hole allows it to, and then the rest moves on around it. It's the same thing with the rock principle, that the water will bunch up against that rock, and then as soon as it reaches that point of total resistance that it can't go anymore, it's going to spread out and go around it.
Yeah,
right?
You get a flooding. And so, if you watch that, how that's happening, that's exactly what's happening in electrical transformers and stuff. Uh-oh, lost your sound again. Let me see if I can call both of you back at the same time.
Okay.
All right, hang on there for a second. We're going to try this call again. Alright. Is that any better? Can you hear me now?
I hear you alright.
Alright, we got two, dog. How about you, Patty? Can you hear me?
Sometimes I can hear you.
Alright, well, I don't know. It might be like gremlins in here gnawing on the wire or something.
Now, I'm going to restart my Skype again.
Oh, you sound good right now.
Okay, but right. Every once in a while I can't hear what you're saying.
Okay, well, I'll have to try to speak louder. Can you hear me now? Is that better? Or maybe mine. I don't know. All right, so anyway, folks. If you pay attention to what nature's doing, and if you really want to understand how to build a better transformer or charging system, go down there and watch how water flows. Alright? And once you see that, you'll get a good understanding that if you're putting too much power to that transformer, then the transformer's going to do one of two things, and probably both. And maybe three things. First off, it's going to get hot because you're generating what they call eddy currents, these little waves just like at the bottom of the water fall, little swirls, whirlpools that are basically heating up because you got too much power going to that same transformer. The next thing is that transformer is going to be wanting to try to get up off the ground. It's going to be sitting there buzzing, that humming that you hear around transformers. There's too much power going through there. Then the last thing is that energy's got to find a place to go. That's why we have a ground in case there is a short somewhere in the circuit. But
says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women, old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
I don't know.
name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Alrighty then. I'll tell you what the ruckus is. Mad science is getting madder by the second. You know, I got a sheriff's deputy out in my front yard. I got the doggone people from the bank trying to violate my property rights. I can't keep nothing, no semblance of peace as long as knuckleheads just don't want to, you know, understand where their place is and where their place ain't. And it's like, they, you know, hey, you know how it goes. Anyway, the same thing applies in alternative energy. I'm sitting here trying to help the world out, give them some ideas and solutions to problems in the world. And continuously somebody want to trespass on my brain and tell me how stupid I am. Alright, so, you know, I apologize to everybody out there listening to this show. You know, I'm just so incredibly frustrated that it just drives me nuts. So I'm sitting here, I'm trying to do a radio show to provide some information for people in alternative energy, and doggone it, the door gets knocked on, and it's the sheriff's deputy out there in my property, just after time of violating my private property rights, still trying to bring people across my land and such, and they sneak in through the back door or over the fence or whatever, you know. And $200 an hour attorney and thousands of dollars later, I'm still fighting with the same doggone knuckleheads that think they know what they're talking about, and turn to find out they were suing the wrong people all along. Just like the trolls out there hassling the wrong people all along when it comes to free energy. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. Basic science proves it, basic physics proves it, and the world itself, nature, proves it. And so I'm going to throw these ideas out there to everybody and give them an opportunity to take these ideas and run with them and benefit the world of all, you know, all the problems that they said that they had could be resolved. Yeah, I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated on the home front trying to protect my castle. I'm trying to be frustrated trying to help the world out there, which is my home. All these people out here that are in need, that need electricity for their, you know, they could actually live in comfort like the rest of the people fortunate enough to be able to have it can. And at the same time, there's this epic battle going on. See, OSHA's is... this isn't all I do. I got things going on in the background. I got people trying to attack me from every doggone direction under the sun. Every foul-mouthed heathen and his brother has come up out of the woodwork in the last, how long have I been doing radio? And called me everything imaginable and then some. I've had my computers hacked. I've had my website jacked with. I've had my radio stream and my internet service messed with. All trying to bring free energy to the world. And at the same exact time, while I'm trying to live in peace, I gotta contend with this doggone bank. They don't own my property. They don't even have rights to go across my property. But the easement that they're trying to sue me for isn't even on my property, it's on my neighbor's property, so they're suing the wrong doggone person. Yeah, that's frustrating. So that's what the interruption was about, folks. The doggone sheriff deputy out there on my front lawn giving me a rash about why I can't let this person go to cross my land to some other place or whatever. Anyway, so... back to science, I hope, until the next knock on the door. You know, I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. You try to keep to your own. You try to do whatever it is you can to help others out. And continuously, it seems like somebody wants to give you a rash. Well, they got old crazy hair Chaziz all riled up. I told them, look, man, this is the way it's going to be. But that's it. So, do I got you guys back again? Two Dog? You there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
I'm right with you, my man.
Life is a struggle, brother.
Well, welcome to my life.
Oh, man. This is probably, by far, has to be the worst...
possible to be messed with, but I'm still here doing what I do.
Yep. This is probably, by far, the worst mad science show that I've ever had the... well, maybe not the worst. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it ain't. It was bad enough. So, this podcast is going to be terrible. So, if you're listening to this podcast a year or 2 years or 1,000 years down the line, just know that today was the day that old Shazia's got riled up again. Doggone it. Drive me nuts. Patty, are you in there? You having Skype issues still?
I'm
here.
Well, turn it up a little bit, Patty.
Yeah, crank it up.
Okay. Is that better?
No. Yell in the mic. It sounds like you're in the next room talking.
How about that?
That's better. Yay!
Any better?
Yeah, that's better. So, I'm getting riled up today. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's gone to the point that you have to protect where you live at, and for those who protect and serve should not be roaming around on your land in the first place if you ain't done anything.
No, I ain't done nothing wrong. It's even posted up there by law. If you don't want people coming across your property, you put a sign up that says no trespassing, no hunting or fishing or stuff like that. Yeah, and so you try to live in peace and use your land properly and try to take care of people, and then you try to, you know, like I'll use my mind to try to help people out in alternative energy. And so, not only am I being tacked on the home front, I'm being tacked out in cyberspace. And so, you know, I'm like, what in the heck is going on, man?
It's a lot like, okay, I'm working with trying to unite people. You're working with trying to give people free energy ideas. And I get attacked every day. That's normal, which I laugh at. And you get attacked for what you do, okay? The fact of the matter is what you believe in and what you see and what you see with your own eyes doing and knowing that it works. Don't worry about what other people say. Just continue to do what you're doing because you're helping some and some won't never take it. It's just the way humans are.
Well, I think I understand what you're saying, brother. And you're right. You know... It's like I try not to allow these people to frustrate me, but you know, it's just it's kind of like you get a thorn, you know. It's not like a real thorn, it's just a little tiny one, just a little tiny microscopic one, and it's just enough to aggravate you. It's, you know, one of them's not so bad, and then maybe two of them, and then I don't know, it's just it builds up for a while, and if you don't vent.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of what I'm doing right now. I'm venting because I have a sheriff's deputy out there in my yard. And I got some total stranger wanting to cross my land to do whatever, you know, and blah, blah. It's just, I don't know, it's just nuts.
Sometimes these deputies and these sheriffs and other things, they talk about the law, but they don't even know it themselves.
Well, yeah. And that's the same thing in alternative energy. These folks out here quoting the laws of physics, and they don't even know what the laws of physics even are, you know?
That's the point. And what I would like to add with, you know, some of your free energy ideas, Shaziz, and throw this out here, is the people of the world that you're trying to help. I'm gonna ask one question, if it's okay with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you have sun where you're at? Does the sun shine where you're at?
It does where I'm at.
Is the wind blowing at any time out where you're at?
I got that too.
do you have water that runs, like a creek, a river, a lake, or anything of that matter?
Yep.
Then you got free energy right there.
Oh, yeah, and not to mention, the water temperature at the bottom of the lake is different than the atmospheric temperature, so using that knowledge in thermal electricity, I could actually make myself some electricity using the temperature of the water and the temperature of the, even if the water ain't moving, you know?
Yeah, even if the water isn't moving, you can still do so.
Yeah.
In other words, what Shaziz and I are talking about right now, ladies and gentlemen, is that nature itself and the creator, whatever you call him, has gave you he gave you science right here. In other words, it works. There was one man that says, if the whole world put solar powers on their head, on their houses, it'd use up the sun. How silly can that be?
Yeah, I heard that one time too, and that just like cracked me up, and I looked at it cross-eyed like, what? Did I just hear that?
That shows you how people are thinking, but what I'm trying to say is that if you have water, you have sun, and you have wind, then you have electricity, or you have energy.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
And the thing about what I've been trying to point out about efficiency is that, you know, you don't need as much power as you think you do in order to do the work that we've been doing. If it's generating heat, that means you're pushing too much power through it. It's as simple as that. That's the same reason why a river will come over the banks of the river whenever you push too much water down the river. That river's not able to hold all that water, and so it comes out of the deal, and you got a flood. It's the same exact thing.
Exactly.
And the pressure of the water will actually erode away the land, and if you don't want the land to erode away, you give that pressure a place to go. And if you want to store some of this water, or even the pressure for that matter, you build a container and a pressure tank or whatever, and you can actually store that energy that nature's already provided. When your tank is filled up, that water will go right back down into the river where it was before. So,
but you also have to look at how the powers to be that is working with this, okay? You have the light company that they love you. They want to thank you for your working with them and letting them serve you by putting lights in your house. But what if you don't have the money to pay the bill? It actually, you know, accidentally happens or something of that matter. Life happens. They're going to cut the power off, and you're going to freeze to death in the winter if you run, you know, electric heat, so to speak.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let's look at it that way.
Well, there are other options available out there, especially in lighting. And during the daytime, when the sun's out, there are people who take a 2-liter bottle, and they'll put water in there, and they'll put like something like either bleach or something that won't allow algae to grow in it, and they will put this in the roof of their house and seal around it so that the roof of their house don't leak. But they can actually pipe sunlight using refraction through that water down inside their house, and so they got the equivalence of a 60-watt light bulb that's lighting up their room from the sunlight that would have normally been blocked out by the roof. Well, that same thing works. We use it, and it's called fiber optics, where you can actually guide the light wherever you want it to go. You can bend this thing around in zigzags and around the corner and all that, and you shine a light through one end into this fiber optic, and it will come out the other end. There's fiber optic cables buried all over the planet for all kinds of things, from telecommunication and stuff like that. And so with that said, you could literally design and engineer your house to not even have to have any lighting during the daytime. The light would just automatically come on, and you could use something as simple as a little slide to cover that light as if you're turning it off. You know, you just block it out and it goes somewhere else. But you just guided energy in the form of light through the roof of your house down into the basement of your house, lit up the basement without ever having to pay an electric bill. And then during the nighttime, you wouldn't want the lights on anyway. You could have an alternative source for if you did want the lights on, LED lighting systems. There's so many different types of deals. And you could actually take that same light that you had, like you're lighting up the basement and you need a light on in the other room, your LED system would go right back through the same fiber optic cable and light the room upstairs. So all you're doing is guiding energy from one place to the next. Nature's already provided all of it. And when it's dark outside, it might still be windy. And if that river's still flowing, there's still hydroelectric capabilities there. We could literally, right now, with all the knowledge that we've got acquired for everything to do with alternative energy, could literally engineer a perfect house that would be completely and utterly self-sustained. It would gather up energy during the daytime and store it. It would gather energy during the nighttime and store it. And energy would be coming in from every single direction. I did a video quite some time back, a little series called Free Thinkers. That particular device that I put together in the Free Thinkers video, if you go back and you look at the very first Free Thinkers video that I did, and look at the date, I'm going to do an updated one on there, and that thing to this very day is still running. It's running from everything from radio signals to galvanic action, earth battery technology, wind power coming in several different directions, negative ion generators, static electric generators, using old dead batteries as capacitors, and so on. It's using thermal heat, where you basically, when the heat comes down, everybody knows according to basic science that heat rises. When the heat box gets heated up from the light of the sun, that heat pressurizes that box, goes up a tube, and then rises up through a turbine system and keeps this thing turning. Even when there is no wind outside, that thing will still remain turning. Just like on the roof of your house, if you look out there, there are these vents, the turbine vents, that whenever the attic gets hot, that heat will rise, and in the process of rising, it will cause that turbine to spin by itself and sucking that heat up out of the doggone attic, so that your attic doesn't get too hot and overpressurized and cause moisture problems and rot your ceiling out from underneath and so on down the line. But nonetheless, everything that I've learned mechanically, electrically, and through nature is all involved in that Free Thinkers video series, and that system has been running since the very first video and all the way up to the present time, and I'm going to do another video and show you. It has old broken down solar panels that I got from Raymond. They're laying in the dirt, and they're still producing electricity, right? And so no matter what's going on outside, no matter whether it's cold outside, no matter whether it's hot outside, no matter whether it's sunny, rainy, windy, or nothing at all going on other than people talking on their cell phones and radio stations sending signals back and forth, at every single time, all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, it's being trickle charged with energy from every single direction. And this is the point that I was trying to get to before I was so rudely interrupted by the sheriff's deputy and, you know, the bank and such. So all this energy, everything, is just guided energy coming from all different directions. And if you have a solar panel, you're going to get light during power during the daytime. If you got a windmill, you're going to get light or energy during the windy days, the sunny days, the cold days, the dark days, and so on down the line. It's taking every bit of what nature has already provided, using it in a respectful manner with nature, in perfect harmony with nature. Matter of fact, If you, when I do this video, I will also show you that inside the actual unit that is gathering up energy, there are spiders living in there. There are rodents living up underneath there. Nature has moved in and is working right alongside. Everybody's got, you know, hey, if you're a bug and you want to go somewhere where it's warm, you climb up in this gizmo right here, and it's not bothering me none because it's still doing its job. They're not harming the system, and nature's just kind of growing up around it. And one of the things is proof of concept of how old that video really is especially whenever I go do an update video, look at the trees in the background. Look at the evergreens that are in the background of this device, this system, and you will see what size they are when I started, and you will see the size that they are present day, and that means that this thing has been self-contained without any kind of, you know, messing around with it. Just left it to its own devices to do what it does, and to this very day, the light is still on. Imagine that. That's what OSHA's has been trying to tell everybody all along. You take all these little pieces of the puzzle, all these little anomalies, all these little different ways to move energy from one place to another, transistors, MOSFETs, doggone relays, and so on down the line, and you know how you can turn your power source on and off so rapidly that you can generate high voltage, wireless energy, and so on and so forth. And so it's not that we don't have enough power. Science says energy can neither be created nor can it be destroyed. So we're not creating it, we're not destroying it. All we're doing is changing it, which is another thing that science said you can do as well. You can change the energy to different forms. You can speed it up, slow it down, energize gas into the fourth state of matter being plasma. You can pressurize things, you can store energy. It goes on and on and on. And I've showed people through my videos ever since the very first video. There was always something to learn in those videos, even if they might have appeared to be crazy at the time. If you paid attention to what was going on in there, there was a method to my madness. Take every bit of knowledge that you've got right now and every bit of trash that people throw away. I mean, old appliances have recyclable parts in there. You can turn an old refrigerator into an air compressor slash storage slash heat box or whatever you want. You can take old washing machines and turn them into generating systems. You can take old treadmill motors and make a wind generator. You can take all these different types of materials, aluminum, copper, and use all these to build battery systems, capacitors, and so on. My grandfather had a phrase, and he said that one man's junk is another man's treasure. And boy, was he right. Because there's things inside all these things that people take for granted and then they throw away as if they're, you know, I'll just go out and buy me a new one. No, there was a reason why my grandpa saved bits and pieces and old appliances and stuff, was because those parts not only would save you money if you had to replace a part in another part, but if somebody else needed a part off of that thing, and if you're recycling and repurposing and re-engineering stuff like that, then that means that the industry out there isn't selling more of them, so there's less impact on the environment, and the landfills aren't polluted with a bunch of junk that could have been reused. So what do you think there, Two Dog? Am I crazy?
Well, you know, your grandfather wasn't the only one. My grandfather used to do the same thing. Actually, I'm looking at a certain flag stand I have inside my house with my nation's flag on it right now. It actually tore apart, so I took the top part off, and I put some metal pole to it, and actually have my own flag stamp in here without going and getting another one. But the point that I agree with is that another man's junk is another man's treasure. My grandfather said the same thing, and we used to we used to do a lot with other people's junk they left on the side of the street.
Yeah. Hey, Two-Dub, can you take the show for a moment? Talk to the people?
Yeah, sure.
Alright, I will be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the thing that Shaziz is talking about, and many of the shows that Shaziz and I have done, and especially him, he's trying to help you understand that you can do what he's seen and done to disconnect yourself from, say, the electric company. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, you do have you have free sun, of course, when it comes up. And you got wind, then you put a wind generator on your land. Just say you put a wind generator on your land. The wind will, I do know somebody that has that, that actually puts electricity back to the electric company. He has no lead bill at all. Water is power. Water is energy. Water is nature. It's all there. It's all there for you.
I'm back, Two Dog, with you. When you watch those rivers flow down, can you understand how I'm saying that that's how electricity flows?
Well, you know, my people have known this 130,000 years now. I would say.
Well, and that's the point I've been trying to get across. That Freethinkers video series has literally showed that by tapping into what nature's already provided. See, I didn't have to do nothing violent to nature or nothing like that. I just took and repurposed a bunch of old, appliances and parts, and basically brought energy in from every single direction under the sun, including the sun, wind, solar, thermal electrics, hydroelectrics, heat, everything from radio waves to galvanic action. I don't know if I said that one already. I probably did. But nonetheless, wind power, radio waves coming in, static electricity, negative ion generation, and that thing has been using dead batteries for all these years, and to this very day, the light is still on.
You can actually use a battery out of your car to do. Well, I used to use a, actually used to use a battery. And what I used to do, I hooked it up and could actually listen to a old car stereo that I took out of the car and brung in my my little room. So, you know, you can use these batteries and all kinds of things for anything. And it still, matter of fact, it probably still runs. I have no idea, but it's a possibility. The problem, and I'm going to say it like this, ladies and gentlemen, the problem is mankind is now thinking they're better than nature, and that's a problem.
Well, that's the whole thing is, if you work hand in hand with nature, you got more power than you could ever use in a trillion, trillion lifetimes. And so, you know, these folks that think that they can control nature, they're wrong. These folks that...
Well, I wanted to relay this real quick, Shaziz. You know, the last time, you know, you and me did one of these Mad Science shows, I related one thing. If, mankind looks for power, they want power, and they talk about power, okay? If you want extreme power, go out in the spring or summertime, or especially in springtime, and you watch a springtime storm. That's power.
Oh, yeah. And if you understand how that power is actually traveling, you can actually pull power off of a lightning bolt without even being nowhere near that lightning bolt.
Exactly.
Because when that happens, like, let's say, for example, that 5 miles away from me, a lightning bolt cracks the ground. There is a massive amount of things happening simultaneously. Not only are you getting a flash of light, but you're getting an acoustic sound wave that's traveling at amazing speeds. But you're also getting static energy put up into the air. So you got a vibration in the ground, which is causing, you know, like a seismic activity going on as that thing's hitting from the ground to the atmosphere. You're getting the acoustic wave from the sound of that reaction that's going on. You're getting visible light. You're getting static energy in the air. And so there's four little tiny examples of what happens in just one time, one lightning strike. But somewhere on this earth, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, there's lightning somewhere on this planet, because this earth is a thermal electric generator, self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. It has thermal vents all over the place. That's why people find these thermal hot springs, and they can basically, like sitting in a hot tub, enjoy that. No electricity involved, according to, you know, having to pay for it. But the science of how that water got hot is the same way that we learned on how to heat water. And all the crystalline structures in the earth and all the different types of metal, you heat up two separate metals, you get electricity. Yeah, the crystals, piezoelectric qualities of crystals, you get electricity. And, you know, think about this thing for a second. Let's say I want to make a really powerful speaker, right? And I know where this one particular cave is that has quartz and stuff and piezoelectric crystals inside there. All I got to do is hit that thing with the right frequency, with the right doggone amount of power, and I can literally turn that cave and all the qualities into a one massive bass cannon. What do you think?
There you go.
That's what science is showing me.
If you look at this all together, and you talk, okay, how did, say, the Plains Indians heat their teepees, you know, when there was no light, no way to, no wood, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
What did they do? They went out and they harvested, I'd say, let's say it that way, buffalo dung. You can actually have a fire from dry buffalo dung inside your TPC.
Oh, yeah. And if you use methods like what they do with composting, when things rot, they produce heat.
Exactly. There's free energy right there, isn't it?
Yeah. We have given people example after example after example of what nature has provided as far as free energy. And that's why I keep saying, if you can't find free energy, you're not looking. Nature does it all day long.
Watch what nature does in itself. Watch what nature does in itself. And people from the land, I'm just saying, that has always lived on the land, and generation after generation is taught from the old ones to the young ones.
Yeah.
Maybe, and I have heard that there's still people living in these certain situations, and they're still doing it inside TV.
Yeah, and we know about preservation, and so tell me, you know, what you can remember about history before, people may have had electricity, how they was able to keep their food cool.
Well, sometimes what we would do, there would be times that we actually used to put it in water.
Yeah. And that's...
In the wintertime, if you need, you did your hunt. And say in the wintertime, it gets cold enough to say in the water to go to a certain degree. We actually stored food inside of it.
Yep.
that place and kept it cool enough to be able to eat it.
We know that at the bottom of a well, the temperature of the water down there is cold.
Yes.
And so if you take that water and you circulate it through essentially like a radiator core, you got air conditioning for free. If you have a well on your property, all you have to do is have some source by which you can circulate that water, and you got free air conditioning. You know, if you're living next to a natural stream, you can guide that water out of the natural stream through a coil system back into the natural stream without ever even interfering with that natural stream, not even polluting the natural stream, just let nature do what nature does. It will send the water where it wants to go, and then it'll go back out to where it wants to go. And in the process, because of where that water, you know, the temperature of that water being at the bottom of that natural spring or whatever. Have you ever been to a lake there in Springfield? They got this lake they call Crystal Lake, and it is clear. I mean, perfectly crystal clear. And that water is the coldest water that you will ever stand. It don't matter if it's mid-July. You know, that water is...
I've heard that.
Yeah, it's spring-fed, and so it comes from deep in the ground. And since it's, you know, don't have sunlight beating down on it all the time, it is like super, super cold. But if we wanted to keep our bologna sandwich cool, we could use that coolness right there and guide it to where all we're doing is guiding the energy. You know, cold is energy as well.
Everything is everything. See, that's what a lot of people don't understand, okay? Everything is energy. Everything. Everything has energy.
Yep.
Right? Even the, say, the conversations between people like Ziz and myself or anybody on the Knights of the Round Table. And if you speak to each other and back and forth to each other, that's energy in itself.
Yeah.
We're using energy to speak to each other. Everything is energy. Everything has energy.
You know, Two Dog, I would love to see a future where we started off from today and we literally built a house that was built around nature and actually used all the forces that nature's already provided to, you know, be a completely self-sufficient deal. When the sun comes up, it has its own lighting, no electricity involved. It's just nothing but sunlight. And that sunlight is literally guided to wherever we need it, you know, down in the basement or the cellar or whatever, and using everything from groundwater to for cooling and vice versa. You know, the cold is only the absence of heat, all right? And so you can use all kinds of different processes. That's how HVAC, heating and air conditioning, work is, you know, you got like heat pump systems that will, you know, pull heat out of one area using different processes and vice versa get cold. It's kind of crazy that you take an air compressor and you run this gas through a compressor and you get the gas really hot. And then as the gas expands into an expansion chamber, it instantaneously, because of the rate of expansion, causes a cooling effect on the other side. So you used heat to generate cold.
Mm-hmm.
Ah! Now that's what I'm talking about. Now if the same...
In this world, in this man's world, in this mankind's world, okay... what they've learned is they think their ego has gotten in the way. That their ego has really gotten in the way.
Yep.
And man, which is part of nature in itself, has thinking now that they're too smart. They know everything, which they don't. And even the scientists don't know everything. And when it comes to nature, they can't outdo it. but they think they can.
Yep.
And that's the problem. That's the problem.
Well, and that's what I'm trying to say, and the fact that greed, you know, people want to make money, they want to get filthy, stinking rich. You know, I ain't opposed to somebody, you know, doing well in life. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that, you know, if you're suppressing information that could, you know, save the environment and work in harmony with nature, and meanwhile somebody else on the other side of the planet is suffering through heat when it's not necessary because we have the technology to literally give them cold air when they need cold and heat when they need heat and so on, and food and all that. Well, just by people being greedy and wanting this power, they literally suppress information that you and I have been pointing out for years.
Well, you know, it's been through generation after generation, decades.
Yeah.
And I'm talking thousands of years, okay? The people who are hungry for power and look at me, this bull that people do.
Yep.
They don't look at the people under them or to help them. They want to help themselves. And it's about how the Indian people was it's we, us, and ours. Okay, we work together.
Yep.
It was a work together thing. And what they taught us in the residential schools and the boarding schools is the me, mine, and I. So it's backwards.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is, you worry about you, and let the other, everything else go. Who cares about everybody else? You make sure about yourself. So that's backwards too. I'm just saying. You know, it's ridiculous.
I'm using every bit of all the blessings that I've ever had, including my land, which I have to seem to, for some reason, fight hard to preserve.
That's America for you.
Yeah, these people that were using the property before used the place for a dump, and it's taken me years to try to get it back to nature, you know, and clean it up, and I'm still pulling trash and broken glass and broken parts up out of the ground. And I'm still cleaning and cleaning and trying to nurse this land back to its health again. And in the process, I'm having to fight the system just to keep the property rights that I'm supposedly have. I'm sitting here trying to protect this piece of land for, you know, people to be able to have a sanctuary to come to. And at the same time, I'm trying to use my mind and all the knowledge that I've gathered to share energy with people and teach them about nature. None of this is ever going to ever work out until all the average Joes and Janes of the world realize that you know, the true power is in the people. And all this knowledge, it's out there if you're willing to take the time and look for it and share it. That community that I was talking about, where we could literally start redesigning and engineering perfect systems, you know, maybe 10, 20 years down the line, you got a house that basically needs no power input from the man, you know? And if everybody knew how to do this, if everybody knew how to, at the very least, make their homes, their present homes, as efficient as possible, then we'd already be on the right track. And all these people that are struggling for power by selling oil and all the wars that are fought over oil, they're not even necessary. You know, no average Joe gains from a war.
You know, here's the thing about that is if you look at it, that's greed of oil. Oil is what is turned into their god, and that's a dollar bill with George W. Bush's mother on it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. What I say like that for, because she does look like George Washington, just saying. But the situation that has come is this oil, which makes money, causes war. War makes money, and they know it, okay? they don't like the warmth what your poor children do.
That's
so
right.
Here you go. They start the war, your poor children die for it. The problem that we've got in this world is that if we are able to sit down and speak to each other, then learn to barter with each other. Think of that.
Yeah.
If you have something I need, I might have something you need. We sit and we talk about it, and then we barter for what we need.
Well, here's another thing, Two Dog, is that this oil, it, you know, they always talk about hydrocarbons. This world's a carbon-based, you know, planet. And so, with that said, you don't even need crude oil. All you need is the knowledge of how it's actually refined into all the different gases and petroleum products and stuff. You could do the same thing that crude oil does with such things as duckweed, watermill, grass clippings, old, you know, food that nobody can eat anymore because it's nasty. You can turn all of that into so many different types of biofuels and gases that you would have more than enough energy just by utilizing the trash.
Well, going to the trash part, let me ride with you on this, okay? I think it's Switzerland. I think it's Switzerland, maybe Holland. I don't remember which nation this is. But what they're doing is they're burning everybody's trash to give energy to their nation. So they're using trash.
Yeah.
As energy, because they're burning it. And, well, that's working.
Well,
if that's working, why is it not working here?
I'm going to have to take a trip down to this one dump that is in Missouri. And these folks are the most brilliant entrepreneurs in the history of the trash business. Because not only do they charge you to take your trash away from the curb, but they take that trash, they have machines and people that are separating that trash. And they're recycling plastics, they're recycling all the different types of metals and stuff like that. And they're using the rest of this stuff to compost and actually generate methane gas, which they then in turn store and turn around and utilize that for running machinery and such. And if you go look at this landfill, I remember when I was a child, you drive past this thing, it stunk so bad that you just didn't want, you knew you was close to the dump. And it looked terrible. You could see all the garbage piled up in piles after piles after piles all these years. And now if you go by there, you would swerping down, you were looking at a public park. Because you don't see the garbage anymore. You don't smell the garbage anymore. And they are making money hand over fist by recycling and saving money on fuel costs because they use the fuel that they make from the materials that they've got available to literally recycle. And so if every single landfill on the planet was to follow that example, not only would the place look good, you wouldn't even know it was a landfill.
Well, you know, Shaziz, I'm going to say this. You know, in our culture, we have a thing called the circle of life.
Yep.
Okay. And everything that grandfather has put here or God has put here is a relation to us. Okay?
Yep.
Now, what I've listened to in the past couple years now, it really bothers me because we know that any part that of life that is on this planet, animal or anything else for that matter, if it becomes extinct, there's a possibility you could die from it because everything has a purpose. Everything has an energy reason, okay, for being here.
Yep.
So that in itself is a bother because we're not worrying about, okay, if the wolf dies, the deer overpopulate, disease happens.
Yep.
There you go. We're just not. not worrying about existing.
They don't worry.
One
other thing, and we're finally getting down to the end of the show. It's amazing we even made it this far with all the interruptions. But nonetheless, one thing to note, the most important thing to note, is in nature, absolutely nothing gets wasted. If you watch nature, nature doesn't waste nothing. If something dies or whatever, it gets recycled back into the system, including us. And so nature recycles everything. You know, there's people out there say, well, you know, all this plastic in the dump, it'll be there for thousands of years. That's not true. It's not. Nature, there is nothing that mankind has ever made that nature can't break down. Maybe some incidents, it will take a little longer because of the structural integrity of or thickness or whatever of a given material. But nonetheless, nature recycles everything. And for mankind to think that mankind can outdo nature, well, I got news for you. Just like you mentioned, too, Dog, if we got overpopulated, nature would balance it back out again. That's amazing.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, Shaziz, what I'm going to say at the end, you know, coming to the end of this show, I'm going to say it like this for you. You know, whatever people say that, you know, you're crazy or it don't work or yada yada, you're already proving it does work.
Yep.
So what people say means nothing. Basically, because I'm going to say it like this, man, in my time and since I've been a leader here, I'm very dangerous to people because I'm trying to bring people together. See, so me and you are on the same level in many ways.
Yep.
So if I become dangerous because I'm trying to look at other people and say we're all the human being, we can live together. You think I'm going to stop just because I become dangerous to those who don't want that?
No, I know you ain't, because I know your heart, brother.
And well, see, I understand myself that, you know, if you really want to put me, if you want to put me in the ground for what I believe in, go ahead and do it, because you can't stop my spirit anyway.
That's what I'm thinking. You know what? I tell you what, you know, you and I, we see eye to eye on this deal, and this is, ladies and gentlemen, what you're hearing right here is just a small fraction of what two people from two separate cultures can actually accomplish and agree on. What we could do together as a global family, you know, not under some one world religion or even government for that matter, but under an idea that we are family and that we know that if we work in harmony with nature, we're rewarded. Everybody has enough food. Everybody has the energy needed to keep cool or keep warm, whichever the case of their need or whatever. That's all we've been saying all along. We want.
Well, I've already proved that in certain aspects. You know, Shaziz, I've sat with people from the Eastern Band, Salagi. I've actually sat with England, Maori from New Zealand. I've actually sat with, you know, like England and other, you know, counties from over there as far as Wiltshire. What we've learned in the council that we sat in is that we're almost, you know, culturally we may be a little different, our ceremonies may be different, but human-wise, we ain't different at all.
Well, brother, I tell you what, and I'll give you my promise, you keep bringing them people together, and whenever the subject for energy comes up, you ask me, I'll come over and I'll join everybody and I'll tell them everything that it is that I've learned throughout my lifetime, and I will share with them solutions to the energy problems of the world and how we can get people things that they need. I got a friend over in the Philippines that's into aquaponics and hydroponics and growing.
Uh-huh.
And he's doing amazing things over there. And so if we need somebody in the alternative gardening, We are gathering the brilliant minds from all over the world, putting the information on the table necessary to uplift our brothers and sisters around this planet. And
well, what I really think, Shazuz, real quick,
yeah,
is that what you're trying to do and what I'm trying to do and what everybody should do. There's an old, Robbie Robertson, he's out of First Nations, and he used to play with the old rock band called The Band, and in the 60s, actually. And what he had a song out, and it's called, you know, Make a Noise in This World. And it's time for all of us to make a noise in this world. We all are intelligent enough to work with each other. So let's make a noise in this world.
Yep.
I've been doing it all my life.
Brother, I think that you and I are on the same journey. Honestly do. I think that you and I and Patty and Steven and Barbara and everybody that shows up in these chat rooms and over there at People for People Radio and TCT and all the other affiliated networks, which at this point in the game are getting pretty vast that I can't even remember a fraction of them, just the most recent. So sorry for that, but you all know I love you, and if we keep doing what we're doing, we're getting the word out. And at some point in the game, you know, when the system that we're up against finally collapses, we ain't got no worries, because we got brilliant minds in all different directions ready to fix whatever needs fixing.
Well, what I've learned since I've been doing this show with you and Knights of the Round Table is that you are proving, and we are proving, that Christian and traditional people of Indian people can work together on the same system.
Yep.
And we can talk in a good way with each other. And that, to me, is a miracle in itself. So we have two spiritualities that are actually a little different, but, you know, we're actually working together.
Yep. We
so,
see.
There you go.
We see that one day the truth will reveal itself in whatever direction that, you know, our Creator had put forth for us. And so that's not a worry that we have to worry about. So all we got to do is take all the talents and gifts that we've been given, come together and work side by side and show people how to do the same and work in harmony with nature and be able to still live in, you know, comfort, have cooling when they need it and heating when they need it, fresh water, fresh food and all that kind of stuff. Folks, every single thing that we need has been provided for us. All the information to use it properly has been provided for us. We are standing right here, right now, in one of the most amazing times in the history of time, and we have every answer to every question necessary to resolve this world. Quite literally, if we decide, as a people, to come together, we could literally produce a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. We can work in such brilliant harmony with nature and become so incredibly efficient with the knowledge available to us. So as we're standing on this crossroad right now, we got a choice. We can either go back to the way things were before, or we can go off to the way that things are going now, or we can move ahead in the future, and we can take all this knowledge, all these blessings that we've been given, and we can make the world a better place for everybody.
I can say it like this, ladies and gentlemen, also real quick. America in itself, the American government, is over 241 years old almost, or over 240 years old. They said that they can take care of us. It hasn't actually happened. And ladies and gentlemen, if you think about it, the only ones that can take care of us is us.
Amen, brother. I couldn't have said it better. Folks, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show. Thank you very much, Two Dog. Thank you, Patty. Sorry for all your Skype problems and sorry for all the interruptions. And so, you know, with that said, tomorrow's the Knights of the Round Table. I hope we can get our act together before then, and I hope there ain't no interruptions there, because that's always a wonderful show as well. So you got anything last there, Two Dog?
Only thing I want to say is, for right now, with the way the world is, grab hold of your family, bring them in, hug them up, let them know, let your daughters, your sons, your wives, and your husbands know that you love each other, and hold tight to your family, because it's an incredibly scary world out here.
Yep, and together we'll fix it. So peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Mad Science. Join us tomorrow for the Knights of the Round Table at 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central. I don't know what that is in your time zone, but we're on Central Time here. So whatever it is in yours, tell your friends and in the neighborhood. And if you like something you heard in this broadcast, rebroadcast it or whatever. All the information here on the website and links are all for free. Stephen Gibbons did a wonderful job on the resource page, so there's a link right above the chat room that says Stephen's resource.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.